Fred, when we see that the Pentagon has, after a lot of wrangling, said, okay, we'll go ahead and we'll fund these troops to the end of the year, what does that mean to you as far as the – and I'm keeping the question deliberately broad. I'm doing that on purpose. What does that mean in a large sense for border security?
Well, of course, the state of Texas would welcome any additional assets, but – it's my understanding from some internal assessments that the Texas Department of Public Safety has done, you would need at least 3,000 National Guard assets for Texas alone, just with the almost 1,400 miles of border and the two time zones to be dealing with. So if you start thinking of this in concept with 1,000 National Guard assets for the entire border from Texas to California, that's really not a lot of people.
Yeah. When we say 3,000 just for Texas, is that 3,000 in the capacity that they're working now? And can you explain what that capacity is and what they're actually doing? What's their function there if they can't actually arrest illegal immigrants or engage them in any way unless they were to, for some reason, maybe engage them first?
A big portion of what the National Guard assets deployed on the border are doing, and you have to keep these numbers in mind. When you hear 1,000, for example, this is not a steady stream of 1,000 people doing any kind of work on the border at a given time. You've got folks rotating in and out. You have a 24/7 operation. So that $1,000 number assets is something that really is a little bit of fuzzy math when you start taking in redeployments and training and so forth. So, but as you step back and look at the border mission with the National Guard, they're engaged in a host of different predominantly logistic kind of assignments, doing a lot of air missions, doing a lot of intelligence support to the various fusion centers and the border security operations centers that are around the state. They're doing some intelligence work behind the scenes to help with the local and state law enforcement efforts that are underway. But for the most part, if you think of it in concept, any additional resources is certainly a welcomed step in the right direction, but it's not a comprehensive solution.
What gets us closer to that comprehensive solution, maybe?
Well, certainly you need many more U.S. Border Patrol assets, which would be a positive step in that direction. If you're not going to give Governor Perry's request of the 3,000 National Guard troops for Texas alone. And the reason I come back to Texas is because if you look at the metrics along the border, Texas is really in the gun sights of the cartels from a spillover perspective. You have the entire human trafficking chain, the drug supply network that flows from Mexico into North America through Texas predominantly. And then as you flip the table, Scott, you have the flow of assets such as stolen vehicles, stolen weapons, and then bulk cash shipments running south, again, back through Texas. And that's one of the issues as you go farther away from the border that most people don't understand, that the request for bodies is simply because Texas is the swinging gate for narcotics coming into our country.
When we talk about intelligence gathering on the border, and of course that's, as you mentioned, something that these additional resources are there for, talk about the intelligence gathering on the other side. I had an ICE agent from Oklahoma tell me, and this was off the record, he didn't want his name attached to it, who was saying that, you know, when you look at the border crossings here in Texas or in Southern California, a lot of times the guys on our side who are running the border crossings can't tell you how long the wait is. But the cartels know exactly how long the wait is. They've got a guy up on the hill, you know, with binoculars just counting cars. Talk about what kind of intelligence gathering they do about us.
It's really an amazing effort when you start looking at some of the cartels' comprehensive intelligence collection efforts. And it really very, very sophisticated, Scott. They have the deployment of spotters with radios and cell phones throughout the border towns on our side of the border, not to mention on the Mexican side. It also has a lot of open source intelligence collection on what the media are talking about and so forth. They're very savvy when it comes to that kind of collection window. And then in the past, we have actually seen them attempt to infiltrate assets into, for example, the U.S. Embassy in Mexico City to try to get behind the classified walls to try to figure out exactly what the U.S. government might be trying to do with the Mexican authorities and so forth. One of the more fascinating intelligence aspects that I saw actually surfaced out of looking at a WikiLeaks document, which shows the sophistication of the cartels. The cartels were conducting enough surveillance operations inside of Mexico in a specific effort to target those Mexican law enforcement officers that were meeting with U.S. law enforcement and then literally killing them. So if you think about it from the standpoint of that and how that resonates to the U.S., if you kill the liaison contacts that you're dependent upon to share information and try to collaborate to try to get the job done, and there's nobody there to talk to, that's a very, very sophisticated kind of intelligence component. Well, I think the one facet that a lot of people don't understand when they start looking at the border from an intelligence perspective is that there's a tremendous amount of intelligence that the cartels glean from our side of the border, utilizing the spotting network, the community networks they have in place, so they keep that very robust supply chain flowing.
That's Fred Burton here at Stratfor. We're in Austin at stratfor.com.